G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
One of our favourites on 2020, we're going to be back today with John Mackay, the creation guy. He's the founder of Creation Research and the Aussie Creation Museum Jurassic Ark. And we're going to open our talkback lines because you might have a question, a comment on creation, evolution, or it might be around the authenticity of the Genesis account of creation. Well, we're going to invite you to join in the conversation on 1-800-316-316. Get ready, that conversation is 25 minutes away from now. Before that, we're checking on this week's political agenda with the Australian Christian Lobby, and today, connecting with Rob Norman, the Queensland State Director of the Australian Christian Lobby. Now, in Queensland, Rob's home state, there is a very serious development where the Miles government has waved through amendments to the Termination of Pregnancy Act that will support nurses and midwives administering medical abortions. Well, we often warn of a slippery slope. We'll get some details with Rob Norman in just a few moments. We are 90 minutes away from checking in on details of a new Bible translation. It's just been launched for the people of West Papua. That's our near neighbour to the north. Look forward to hearing from Open Doors 90 minutes from now. Then on Faith and the Future with Dr. Camille Majdali, our series is on the book of Joel. And today a focus on the promise that God will restore. Engaging conversations ahead. I'm glad to have you along with us on this Monday edition of 2020. Well, on Mondays, we like to preview the political agenda for the coming week. And Rob Norman is the ACL State Director for the State of Queensland. Hey, Rob, special welcome back to 2020.
Neil, it's always great to be with you, mate. And thanks so much for having us on. We appreciate this spot. It's a great opportunity for us to share with your audience the things that are happening in parliaments around the nation.
And I was so thrilled to catch up with you briefly at the Church and State Summit on the weekend. You know, it was a great 2 days, wasn't it? An interaction, networking, a revelation of some of the challenging things that are going on around our nation. Did you have an overall view of how you thought the Church and State Summit went, Rob?
Yeah, look, this is always a great event, Neil. It brings together people like you and I and others in our kind of interest, I guess, around the nation. I actually think this is a CPAC kind of moment, and it's really excellent for the, you know, networking, speaking to people of like mind and basically forming that think tank and the outcomes that come from it. So, yes, an excellent event, Neil. Should be more of it. I look forward to this one every year.
When you say should be more of it, I know that the organiser, the founder of the Church and State Summits, Dave Pellow, has some more planned. There's one coming up in Albury. There's going to be a couple in Tasmania, and there's another one planned for Perth. So for listeners in those regions and those areas, you might want to check the Church and State Summit website to find out if there's a seat for you at those. They are just outstanding. Hey, Rob, your area of expertise, your focus is on the state of Queensland, and I mentioned there in the introduction just a little while ago, a slippery slope. It gets to be a little like this. Let's talk abortion pills in Queensland. What's happening there?
Thanks, Neil. Yeah, look, those on the left don't like that term slippery slope, but it really comes to play when we see these kinds of bills being raised and waved through in the parliament. So I've been attached to this process since the bill was tabled. And basically what has happened, Neil, is that the bill has, it's called the Health and Other Legislation Amendment Bill number 2 of 2023. It was actually passed last Thursday, so it's now become law. But this bill was waved through essentially by the Miles Labor government through the parliamentary system. And again, we go through this, it's almost farcical the way the committee systems are working here in Queensland at the moment, where you've got a three-term government dictating the kinds of social outcomes that the state will have. and then largely ignoring much of the good input that happens at these committees. And so there were some champions in the committee process, don't get me wrong. And we saw very strong statements of reservation by Andrew Powell, for instance, the LNP for member for Glasshouse, Sam O'Connor, the LNP member for Bonnie, and Steve Andrew, the One Nation member for Mirani. But despite those statements of reservation, the bill was recommended to Parliament without amendment and was passed on Thursday. And so it's a terrible bill. It basically will now allow nurses and midwives, or not just allow, but it will make that part of the normal process to administer the MS2 two-step abortion pills.
And undoubtedly, there'll be some who will be compelled to administer those pills as well. But let's just reflect this with us for a few moments here. Nurses and midwives. Now, they're not doctors. When you're administering a pill like this that takes the life of that unborn child, it's as though somebody pulls the trigger. Either you've written the prescription or you've administered the prescription. There's some challenges, isn't there? Because nurses and midwives, they don't deserve to have this thrust upon them, do they?
No, this bill raised all kinds of issues, Neil. And look, even the whole notion of conscientious objection was really flushed down the gurgler, literally. And so nurses and midwives won't have the right to full conscientious objection where they can actually walk away from doing this. It's a terrible bill. It puts the lives of women in country, rural and remote areas in real risk because these pills are known to raise complications in 5% of women. So for women's health alone, this is a disaster. Obviously, for the babies, this is a complete disaster. And we already have in Queensland 44% of the nation's MS two-step pills being prescribed right now. And so this bill will only see that number go through the roof. It's now law. It's not just a bill.
And who would have thought just a few years ago that Queensland might be leading the way in this? Now, we know that the Miles government is up for re-election later this year in October. There is a sense here in which it appears as though, and we'll talk about some more things that are happening in Queensland, that some of these things are being rammed through the Queensland Parliament, things that we might all have a healthy objection to, but is there some sort of, you know, fast-tracking of these things before an election? How do you see things?
It's hard not to come to that conclusion, Neil. There's a whole bunch of social bills being rammed through at the moment. Now, to the opposition's credit, and, you know, we have to give credit where it's due, David Crisafulli and his team voted on block to oppose this particular bill, the life aspects of it. That was an unexpected surprise, I must admit. I think that was a great outcome. I would love to see the LNP opposition go back to their original idea of actually winding back those parts of the Termination of Pregnancy Act. That would be a great outcome. And we can only pray for that, Neil. I think there is change afoot.
Interesting, isn't it, that while we might have our eyes on oppositions with the thought that there could be a repeal of some of the dreadful anti-life legislation that passes through our parliaments, we're still yet to see a little bit of backbone in some of these liberal oppositions around the nation. Let's hope that there might be something that comes to the fore there that might be a positive. Hey, you mentioned the parliamentary committee system, because explain for listeners just how significant this is in the state of Queensland, because in other states you've got this, what you might call an upper house, a house of review, before legislation is actually signed off on. How does the Queensland system work? Because you're describing it as like a broken parliamentary committee system and the fact that there's no upper house.
Yeah, that's right, Neil. Look, our system of committees is heavily weighted towards a majority government. And so, as you say rightly, we don't have an upper house. In fact, in colonial times, pre-1900, Queensland did have an upper house. We were the only state that did. And so we had a house of review where bills that were unpopular could be modified, reviewed, put back to the lower house, and eventually either rejected, amended, or accepted. we're now in a situation where a majority government will also have majority in the committee. And so it becomes a bit of a show kind of trial in effect, where the committee process happens. And we've seen this over the last term of government, particularly of parliament, particularly, where unpopular bills have just been waved through the committee process. And many of those have been omnibus bills that have acted as Trojan horses to carry very dangerous legislation through.
Now, Rob, this is not the only thing that Queenslanders are confronting this week. The Queensland Law Reform Commission's draft anti-discrimination bill has been released for public consultation. How do you describe the contents of this one?
Again, Neil, this is the most radical change to an anti-discrimination act of any of the states. It is a really, really bad act. And I call it an act because the bill calls for the rescinding and replacement of the current anti-discrimination act. And look, this is a terrible bill. It basically, the worst parts of it will force religious institutions to submit to the state's interpretation of their theology. And particularly when it comes to, the big concerns of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so we're looking specifically at some of the gender issues. These are protected attributes under the Act. And in effect, the Department of Justice and Attorney General would have the right to impose the state's theological view or interpretation on the way religious institutions employ people on the basis of gender and sexuality, etc. So it's a dangerous bill. It potentially spells the end of religious institutions. I know that's a massive statement. And, you know, if you look at countries like China, that's already happened. The church has gone underground. We could see that kind of thing happening in Australia. This bill is the canary in the coal mine, Neil.
And Queensland, again, may be leading the way on this downward spiral into what is happening. So religious institutions and protected attributes. Now, when you take away some of those protections to be able to employ staff who actually will sign off on the way that, a Christian school here will say, this is what our ethos is. And, of course, the staff, they are the ones who are agreeing to the ethos, and so therefore they teach along those lines. If you've got staff that don't agree with the ethos of the Christian school, it's like you say, what makes the Christian school Christian? Things are likely to head for change here. Where do you think things are going here, Rob?
Again, we've got to put on our prophetic lens there, I guess, Neil. And I'm an advocate of homeschooling. I think that homeschooling will be one of the avenues forward. But apart from that, we have to defend religious institutions, particularly the Christian schools. And so if this thing runs its course, those schools will cease to be Christian. There's no doubt about that. There would be obviously a period where that was transitioning, if you like. But whenever new people are employed, there would be an affirmative action part of this clause, where the Department of Justice and Attorney General has investigative and monitoring rights to oversee the process of employing people. That's extremely scary, Neil. We would never have thought that this kind of bill would have been raised even 5 years ago.
You know, Rob, and you know some of the people I know, but I've been talking to people who are leading Christian schools organizations, and I talk to people who are homeschool advocates, and I was talking to just a couple of those who were coming from the Christian schools side of thing the other day, and I mentioned that there is a suggestion that this may actually well see the end of Christian schooling as we know it. And the people in Christian schools, they take a step back and say, oh, wait a moment, don't just make that sound like this is an inevitable thing. There's a battle to be fought here. So for people who are listening to our conversation today and thinking about Christian schools, which is one of the great Christian institutions that are so widespread across Australia, in fact, there's very few countries can match the Christian schooling that we've got. I wonder if you've got any thought here, Rob. Some people will be thinking now that somehow or other this could be the end of Christian schools and then that's inevitable. But there's got to be a battle and there's got to be participants in that. Is this an unwinnable battle? What are your thoughts here?
No, look, I don't think any of these battles are unwinnable, Neil. But it will require that we have an iron spine. We must resist this. This will call for extreme bravery, and it may mean that people undergo prosecution at some point in the future. That the law is tested. If Queensland were the Commonwealth of Australia, this law would probably be challenged in the higher court. We're not, and so we're not the Commonwealth. But as you probably aware, your listeners would be aware because they're well educated, that Section 113 of the Australian Constitution allows for the free exercise and expression of religion. That's the important line there. In Queensland, that's under threat, and we have to fight for our constitutional right. And look, I believe that the heads of Christian schools are gathering around this particular thing. And, you know, one of the great things that happens in adversity is that the church often comes together in unity, and that's what we're calling for. We have to really stand together on this as a church, not as churches scattered.
And here we are, a federation of states in Australia, and so we have our Commonwealth and we have our states. It's as you say, if it was a Commonwealth thing, it could be challenged in the High Court. But the states are so very powerful around education, and so if these things pass through, trying to unravel what happens with that is very, very difficult. Somehow or other, you've got to be in the battle to keep that from happening. Now, for people to want to be in the battle, you've got to have a certain sense of, deliberate intentionality about that. I'm aware that there are submissions being received around this issue until the 22nd of March. Now, that's not far away. That's only just a week and a half away. What could people do to try and make a difference from wherever they might be listening, around Queensland in your state or around Australia?
Neil, if people jump on the Australian Christian Lobby website, we have a form that will help you make a submission. So it will take you to the submission page. We'll give you some bullet points, some suggestions. But, you know, the really important thing here is that we all get involved and that people speak from their heart and their experience when they put a submission in. Don't just cut and paste, but look at the process, check out our website, look at some of the suggestions, read the bill and write your own submission. It doesn't need to be a long one. It can be a half a page. It can be a couple of lines, but all these things will help, Neil.
There's going to be lots of things, especially for Queenslanders, to write in about to your federal, your state MP in Queensland. Another issue, which is another very, very big one that is going on in the state of Queensland, is this full decriminalisation of prostitution. The Queensland Criminal Code, Decriminalising Sex Work and Other Legislation Amendment Bill 2024. This is another very serious one, Rob.
Yeah, that's right. And again, we're leading the country in very bad ways here, Neil. So full decriminalisation means that, for instance, careers nights at high schools, prostitution, pimps would have access to that. They would be able to sell their wares, particularly in those areas. If you look at local neighbourhood planning laws, there can be no discrimination against prostitution rackets that set up in the house next door to you, in effect. Councils can't even be biased towards those. So all the rights that a tradie would have or an accountant or anyone else. And some people will say, well, that's already possible, but this racket will go on. The pimps will be involved. That's not currently happening. Young women are being violated, abused, sex trafficking. The whole consequences of this bill are far-reaching. And again, we're going to be very sorry to see this in 5-10 years' time when Queensland potentially becomes the tourist sex capital of Australia.
And, you know, we haven't got time to go into it today, but, I mean, couple that with the decriminalisation of all of those hard drugs that people are now not going to be prosecuted for, the way that the drug problem can certainly go hand in hand with all of the other challenging things that we're talking about. Rob Norman, it's a sobering thing to talk to you today, sobering as to what's happening in the state of Queensland. And I know that listeners around Australia will be hopefully prayerful about what's going on in Queensland. Honour to you. You're doing a great job, as are all of those state leaders at the Australian Christian Lobby. For listeners today who are wondering, how do I do something? Well, there's been a number of opportunities there that Rob has suggested that you can do wherever you might be today, if you've got a few minutes to just down tools and take some action. Here's how you do that, acl.org.au. That's where you'll find any links for submissions and for all sorts of ways that you can get involved, acl.org.au. Rob Norman is ACL State Director for Queensland. Rob, thanks so much for another update today on 2020.
Thanks, Neil. God.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.